In this episode of the Deming Institute podcast, Ron Moen and Cliff Norman of API are our guests. Ron and Cliff will discuss the history of PDSA and some of the research they've done on this subject. Hi, my name is Trip Babbitt. I am host of the Deming Institute podcast. My guests today are Cliff Norman and Ron Moen. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, Trip. Glad to be with you.
Thanks.
Wanted to start out. Our subject today is going to be kind of the history of Plan, Do, Study, Act. But for those in the audience that maybe aren't quite familiar with the Shewhart cycle and the history of Plan, Do, Study, Act, can you tell us a little bit about how it fits into the broader Deming philosophy?
Trip, this is Cliff. The underpinning of Deming's philosophy was the idea of continuous improvement. And the PDSA cycle is kind of underlies that idea. Once we start improving, it's going to be never ending. And the idea that learning and improvement are never ending. Underlying that, under theory of knowledge, and as we'll discuss, Deming was heavily influenced by pragmatists out of Harvard University. And the idea of inductive, deductive and inductive learning and the iterative nature of those two ideas are built in to the PDSA cycle. So it really fits up under theory of knowledge in terms of the system of profound knowledge. Ron, you want to add to that?
Sure. I think the context here, for Deming at least, is that they were talking about improvement of products and services or processes and systems. So it has a business context, but it goes broader than business. But I do have a quote that Deming used to say in a seminar. He said, business is more exacting than science. And what he meant by that is that a scientist really does a plan, do, study. You set up your experiments and you share what you've learned. You do your publication. Mm-hmm. Whereas in business, to stay in business, you have to continually learn, continuous improvement, Kaizen. But also you need to act. So it's more exacting than science. Business, you have to act in what you're doing. So not only have you learned, but then you have to take action as a basis for that. So you can think of that as really the plan, do, study, act. So in that sense, I think the PDSA was adapted. The scientific method was more adapted to business and industry in a very broad context for any improvement activity.
Instead of plan, do, study, publish, it's plan, do, study, act then.
Yes.
Okay. Well said. Okay. Very good. So when you wrote this paper on Plan, Do, Study, Act and gave a history, why did you choose this particular subject to write on? What was the impetus behind it? What was the purpose behind that?
I think what we were seeing in the early 80s, first of all, the quality movement in the United States really was from Deming's presentation on the NBC white paper, Japan Can, Why Can't We? Well, that made Japan very popular too. And so what we were seeing coming out of Japan was the Plan, Do, Check Act, PDCA. And having helped Deming with multiple seminars in the 80s, he never used the term. He never lectured it. It wasn't part of it. He talks about theory of knowledge, how we generate knowledge and so on. But the PDCA became connected to Deming back in the early 80s. I knew that was incorrect. And so what I was really trying to do is understand how it came about. And so that's how we end up with this paper. I might add, it took me over 10 years to work on it.
Okay.
Because the bottleneck I had was nobody in Japan claimed authorship. They kept pointing to Deming. And then when I'd work on Deming in the four-day seminars, he had nothing to do with it. Okay. So there was a disconnect there that took me quite a while. And maybe
So let's start down this path of the PDSA. So how did it evolve over time?
Cliff, why don't you back us up to the history a few hundred years? I think we need to back up the scientific method.
In the article circling back, Ron and I went back quite a ways. A lot of the information that we had, the first reference in this is from a book called The Metaphysical Club, but then it goes short short ways back, but in Western culture, we often credit Galileo with being the father of, you know, modern science. And, of course, before that, you could go to Aristotle and the idea of deductive reasoning. And unfortunately, you know, Aristotle would come up with things like males and male animals in nature have more teeth than females, or the version of that in nature. And the poor man was married twice. And if Sir Francis Bacon had been around, and he didn't get there till 1564 with the idea of inductive reasoning. He said, you know, we can't just have theories, we have to go test them. And Aristotle had, he was married twice, he had two opportunities to test that theory. I don't know that it would have changed his mind, but in science, it only takes, you know, one observation, as Einstein said, to cause us to either revise or throw out our theory. So he would have had that opportunity. And so those two are really, when we look at the idea of deductive reasoning and a follow-on by Galileo, and then Sir Francis Bacon really coming in with inductive learning. And then it goes in the article, we talk about the influence of pragmatism, which was an American-born philosophy of learning and the rest of it. And when Deming was working with Shewhart, he was really impressed with Shewhart's intellect. And he asked Shewhart, while they're having lemonade, I think, out in Shewhart's front yard, you know, what causes you to think the way that you think? And Shewhart told him that he had recently read a book by C.I. Lewis entitled Mind and the World Order. And what C.I. Lewis had done had taken what the pragmatist school from Charles Peirce and William James had brought forward, you know, just right after the Civil War. And from that, you know, things have to be practical. We can't just have some theories that are not tested. And so the whole pragmatist school had a huge influence on Shewhart and Deming. And it was from that then the Shewhart cycle was taught to the Japanese in the 1950s. And so, Ron, I'll let you pick up there.
So Shewhart, really, I think we should be credited with bringing the scientific method to industry. And his 1939 book, which Deming was the helped him edit that, talked about the scientific method is connected to a three-step cycle. Shewhart's cycle was basically specification, production, and inspection. Specification, production, and inspection. And Shewhart says that those three as a circle, and they're continuously going, you go around it over and over again, for industry, that these are really the same thing as in the scientific method, hypothesizing, carrying out the experiment, and testing the hypothesis. So he said these three steps constitute a dynamic scientific process for acquiring knowledge. So I would connect in history Shewhart to bringing the scientific method, which had been around for 500 years, as Cliff just said, to industry for the first time. So that was the Shewhart cycle. And that really influenced Deming from there on. So Deming took that Shewhart cycle, and when he lectured in 1950 to the Japanese, he made it quite different, I think. He said it's a four-step process. Well, first of all, he said the old way of thinking is design something, build it, and sell it. So again, the context here is designing new products and services. So design the product, sell it, make it, and sell it. He said, instead of, you've got to add a fourth step, and that's test the product and service through marketing research and then go around the cycle again. So he made this a cycle as well, a circle. It was four steps. So this was his lecture in 1950 in Japan, and the Japanese called this the Deming wheel, not the Deming cycle. They called it the Deming wheel. So it was a four-step wheel. That was 1950. Shortly thereafter, those that attended his seminar, and the next year, he was there three or four times in the next two, 3 years, they sort of evolved what was called the PDCA. And the PDCA was connected back to Deming's lecture very indirectly. The design was really the plan, production was the do, sales was the check, and research was the act. So Deming's four steps became the Plan, Do, Check, Act. Kind of a leap of faith, and that's where I spent most of my research time trying to figure out how those two were connected and who connected them. There's a book by Masaaki Amai. I don't know if I pronounced that. Amai on Kaizen. And he says that basically that was the connection between the two. And but there was no name given. He just says that Japanese executives recast the Deming wheel presented in 1950 seminar into the PDCA. But who did it and how they did it wasn't clear. That's where I spent my research. And this includes something in the 80s where I actually interviewed one of the participants in the 1950 lecture. That was in 1986 when I met with him. And of course, he was very old. And I showed him the PDCA in Japanese. And I said, how did you learn this? And he said, we learned it from Deming. And so that didn't help me at all. What I've concluded is that the barrier was Japanese culture. No one wanted recognition for changing it. And so to this day, there's no name associated with the PDCA. So it did evolve through the Deming wheel, which came from the Schuhart cycle, which came from the scientific method. That's the connection we have. And from that, then Dr. Deming, since he had seen so many articles with PDCA, in 1985, he introduced the Plan, Do, Study, Act in his seminar before the 86 publication, The New Economics, the Out of the Crisis. And so that version in the paper is much like what we have seen today. And that is the Deming cycle. He called it the Schuhart cycle for learning and improvement. So again, it was four steps. What seems most important accomplishment? And then to plan a test or change, carry out the test or change, preferably on a small scale, observe the effects of the change, study the results, what do we learn, what can we predict? That was the 86 version. And then over all of his seminars, which he had about 10 or 12 a year between 86 and 93, and the 93 publication was The New Economics. There it was much simpler. The first step, plan a change or test aimed at improvement. The second step, do carry out the change, preferably on a small scale. Third step, examine the results. What did we learn? What went wrong? And fourth was adopt the change, abandon it, or run through the cycle again. So this was his final version that he published in the New Economics in 1993. And of course, he died in December of 1993. So that was his last version. However, in doing the research, I also found several other articles where Deming responded to things. And so if we still have a little time trip, I'm going to share three of those. They're in the paper.
Sure.
One was a comment. It was a GAO transcript, a roundtable discussion with Dr. Deming in 1980. By now they have the PDCA. And so he was asked at this roundtable to respond to it. He said, is this really the Deming cycle? And he says they bear no relation to each other. They bear no relation to each other, meaning the PDCA and what Deming called the Deming circle, but he called it the Schuhart cycle for learning and improvement. So there is no resemblance there. The second one was in 1990. I published a book with Nolan and Provost on the experimental design. And Deming was reviewing the chapters. And in the very first chapter, we had the Plan, Do, Study, Act. And Deming's comment in a letter to me on November 17, 1990, be sure and call it the PDSA, not the corruption PDCA. The corruption PDCA. I was shocked that he was so angry about how he was seeing the PDCA being used and connecting it to his name. And then finally, my third research was at the Library of Congress in the archives. It was a response that somebody sent a letter to him. And it was actually a paper, and he asked Deming to comment on it, and it had the PDCA cycle in there. And here was Deming's response in this. He said, "What you propose is not the Deming cycle. I do not know the source of the cycle that you propose. How the PDCA ever came into existence, I know not." So I think the message in this that we're trying to get across is Deming did not create the PDCA except very indirectly through his lectures in Japan, but very indirectly. And so the connection probably is only back to the scientific method connecting Schuhart's work. So any other comments, Cliff?
I think this also goes back, Tripp, to your first question as to what caused us to write this article. Ron and I took a first shot at this article in 1989, in the 50th anniversary of the Schuhart cycle that was published in his book, Statistical Method from the Viewpoint of Quality Control, in 1939. And we put it in a newsletter for the Southwest Quality Network, which has been running since 1989. And in writing that, Ron and I realized right away there's a gap. And we did not understand, as Ron was just articulating, what actually happened in Japan relative to PDCA and what the relationship was and all the rest of it. And that's what started the additional research that Ron's just been talking about. And it's interesting to me, you know, Deming always used to say that history is an analytic study as opposed to a numerative study because it keeps evolving. And every time we write an article, just like this one, we find additional gaps, new questions, you know. And Richard Feynman, he says that science begins and ends in questions. And that's alive and well here. So as Ron was just discussing, we're really not sure about the authorship. And when Ron and I presented this to the Japanese Union of Scientists and Engineers in 2009 in Tokyo, Dr. Kano, he started to try to fill in some gaps. But again, that's one man's view. And he credited Dr. Mizuno as being the creator of this. But again, we don't know that for sure. That's a new question for us that we need to do additional research on to shore that up. So it's one man's opinion at this point, and we can't find any documentation to support that. And so in the article, we said authorship at this point is unknown. But I would hope to close that gap if we could.
Okay, let me ask a couple questions. As I was reading the article, you start with the Schuhart cycle from 1939, and I noticed that there was this straight line process that Ron has already talked about, with specification, production, inspection. And then it went to evolved, apparently, or through Schuhart's reading, went into more of a circular motion as opposed to a linear piece. Is that what mind in the world order brought to Schuhart, is the circle type of specification, production, inspection from a linear look? How do those relate?
I think what Schuhart recognized, and particularly from the pragmatists, that is what you learn in the real world, you know, you need to act on that. And the learning is going to be continuous. And updating your theories is real important. And so from a theory of knowledge standpoint, I think that's what Schuhart took from the pragmatist school. Ron, what would you add to that?
Yeah, what he said in his 39 book was the circle is, or three steps, is a dynamic scientific process for acquiring knowledge. So it's multiple iterations of it, and that's how we acquire knowledge, which lifts, you know, again, the basis for that is theory of knowledge. Which Deming lectured on in all of his four-day seminars, a really important aspect, which he assumed that everybody had taken a course in college in the theory of knowledge or epistemology, but there weren't many hands that went up when he would ask that. But it was really critical in his thinking. And so the PDSA, as it evolved with Deming here, is truly a methodology that comes directly from theory of knowledge, acquiring of knowledge, building of knowledge. And it's very dynamic. And that's why there has to be multiple PDSA cycles. Now, in all fairness,
Ron,
it's also built into
his production view as a system that he showed the Japanese, that you, once you produce a product or service, you have to have structure in place in which to learn and get feedback, you know, from customers. And so all that, that whole idea was built even into that diagram in 1951.
And again, the other is the context or the overall philosophy is always making improvements. Of course, the Japanese Kaizen was critical for this, but it's the thinking of Schuhart, Deming, and others that we have to continually improve our products and services. So that requires an iterative nature of learning, and the PDSA cycle is the best tool to do that. Okay, Trip?
Yeah, no, I was just, as I'm listening to this, I'm going through, I was looking at some of the drawings in the article, you know, with the Schuhart cycle and then the Deming wheel, which is apparently the part that seems to be the mystery, because your belief is that he showed them the Schuhart cycle, it sounds like, in 1950 when he met with the folks, and the Deming wheel somehow emerged from that conversation. And what and who is it seems to be the question that's unanswered. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Who invented the PCA cycle? We don't know.
Okay.
Point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, I could never get to it. And my explanation is it's the Japanese culture. No one wanted the recognition. They wanted to continually give Deming the credit because it came from his lectures from 1950, 1951. It was already published and working as a PDCA with the QC circles and so on in the late 50s and early 60s, I think it was. So it was already around. And Deming would see that because he continually went back to Japan. And he lectured there. He attended many of the Deming Prize ceremonies. But he never mentioned the PDCA. I've never seen anything other than the three references that I gave you. He was criticizing people that used it.
So
I think in the United States, the PDCA was in a lot of the literature, and you know, there's nothing wrong with it. But if Cliff and I try to answer what is the PDCA, it's really mostly for implementation and problem solving. It's to implement something. Now Deming, when he did talk about the PDCA, he said C means check, and he says in the English language, check means to hold back. That's really almost the antithesis of theory of knowledge, to hold back. There's no learning in holding back. So he thought that this was very misleading and really didn't help build knowledge. But for implementation, I think this is fine. You ask somebody to do something, they go ahead and do it. You check to see if it's been done. So it serves a very useful purpose, but what Deming tried to do was make it more general, and not only for implementation, but for testing and early testing, prototype testing and so on, for products. But it's more general than just testing products and services, too.
We got a lot of pushback when we presented at JUSC that they're very clear at JUSC, and they kind of own the PDCA cycle, that it was all about the implementation of a standard. In fact, I went back and looked at Dr. Ishikawa's book on total quality control, and they're very clear about it. You know, management determines goals and targets. They determine a method. And then the workers, they do the plan that the management came up with. Inspection checks it to make sure it's okay, that we've implemented the correct standard and it's working. And if it's not working, then we take action to correct it. And JUSA was very clear that it's very different than PDSA, which is about the whole idea of deductive inductive learning and people changing what they find out and developing a new path and all that. That's not wound in to PDCA as practiced by JUSA.
The PDSA, again, the plan and do is really the deductive part. That's where you set up your hypothesis and make your predictions or state your questions. The study and act is the inductive part. So it's deductive, inductive iteration, which goes back to the Francis Bacon contribution in 1600. So that was really critical in Deming when he taught the PDSA. It was really deductive, inductive. So there is where the learning takes place. So that can be used in testing anything, prototypes. It can be testing management theories. It really has very broad application. it's a broader approach, the PDSA, much broader. Now, it can also be used
Deming
for
would offer
implementation. Can be used for implementation.
Deming would often say, Tripp, in his seminars, that there's no experience without a theory in which to observe it. And I walked up to him. He was having a gathering of statisticians at New York University. And I said, you know, Ulysses S. Grant said a man who's had a bull by the tail knows a couple more things about it than a man who hasn't. And Deming laughed. But then he said to me, he said, but Mr. Norman, don't you think that you had to have some theory in order to understand which end to grab, you know? And so when we're in the PDSA cycle, we have an initial theory that we're going to go out and we're going to learn from. And then from that, as Ron was just talking about, we're going to have the inductive part that kicks in study and act. We do see people running around and trying to reverse it all. They'll say, no, you start with induction first and all that, you know, and I think Demi would argue with that when you're out trying to learn, you've already got some initial theory that's in good currency that you're going to start with.
I guess the question, we see this kind of evolution go on all the way back from 1939 as we read the paper. And then there was the Shewhart cycle, 86, the PDSA cycle, 1993, assuming that probably came out of the New Economics. With you guys using this all the time, is this the end? And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but has it evolved with application as you guys have continued to use PDSA? Where does it go from here, maybe, is my broader question. Is it yeah. perfect as well, is, or?
Cliff, myself, and our other colleagues, we published our version of it in 1991. We took Deming, actually Deming reviewed this and liked it, but he didn't put it in his 93 book. And so the planning is really, we asked people to state the objective. What are your questions that you want to answer? And what are your predictions to those questions? And then you have a plan to carry out that cycle. Carrying it out, then when you go through to the study part, you compare your results, or you complete your data analysis, compare your data to your predictions, summarize what was learned. So we made this deductive inductive, which I think is more closely tied to the scientific method than Deming did. So I think that's a change that we made, and we've been using that since 1991. So it's really, the planning is you might think of PDSA as P means prediction, and then the study part is compare your prediction to what happened, and then what did we learn from that. So it's a little bit different. Deming liked it, but he didn't put it in his book.
Okay.
So, and a lot of times with Deming, he would assume that most things are known. You don't need to be that specific. Whereas I think both Cliff and my experience is that you need to be much more prescriptive. He kept it very high level, plan, do, study, act.
Well,
so we added that to it. And I think we've been using that since 1991. So it has a lot of leverage, right, Cliff?
Yeah, I think so. And Tripp, just to add another angle to your question, and I think Ron's really covered it quite well. To me, the future is to use the method with some rigor. And what we don't see with PDSA, in fact, there's an article written on it in the British Medical Journal, Problems with PDSA, and the authors there say it's deceptively simple. And so there's a lot of misuse and abuse of the idea and the name of PDSA. But when somebody really sits down and they have to pose a good inquiry question rather than a yes and no answer and really make a prediction about what they're going to do there and then develop a data collection plan around that and be prepared to be surprised and do that our pet theory isn't working out and be prepared, you know, to update our thinking and how we're going to approach the world after we've been surprised. And unfortunately, what a lot of people do is they go out and they fall into the confirmation trap. Mm-hmm. You know, they try something mm-hmm. one time and in a very small range of conditions, and then they get the answer they want, and they're done. And PDSA, if you're using the rigor of that, you're asking yourself a question, under what conditions could this be different? You know, have I tested over a wide range of conditions here? There's a bunch of things that go along with that. And I think those authors from the British Medical Journal are right on target. It's deceptively simple. And unfortunately, what we've had up to now are some fairly simple and, as H.L. Mencken said, usually wrong applications of PDSA as opposed to following the rigor that Ron was just talking about.
That British publication was only last year, wasn't it, Cliff?
Yeah, back January of this year. Problems with
January
PDSA.
Of this year.
Wonderful article.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the name of the article again?
Problems with PDSA.
Problems with PDSA. Okay. Well, and I think this I think this might fit into kind of my last question. And, you know, we know that, you know, organizations out there, you know, we're talking about scientific method and things of that sort, but we know organizations out there are pretty good at copying each other. It's a cultural thing. You know, they have the certain assumptions and beliefs. And so when you guys are out there using PDSA, how does that work in or filter into, you know, the existing kind of style of managing organizations where you all just you're basing everything off of assumptions and beliefs? You know, how do you get the scientific method to take hold when people are so used to just, you know, you make a decision, oh, the corporation I worked for before, you know, did it this way, and so it'll work for us type of thing. How are you guys breaking those habits using PDSA?
So we'll be commenting on that. First, we have what's called a model for improvement. So on top of the Plan, Do, Study, Act, for any organization, we have three questions called a model for improvement. What are we trying to accomplish? Second question is, how would we know a change is an improvement? And the third question is, what changes can we make that will result in improvement? So those three questions sort of frame the starting point for turning the PDSA cycle. So having an idea that you want to test comes out of that question number three. But the first one that starts, what are we trying to accomplish? What is our aim? How will we know a change is improvement? So articulate what would it look like if the change were made? And then the third one, what are the ideas that we think or we predict will actually result in improvement? And that's when the PDSA starts going around. So we think this model for improvement, which we published in, oh dear, what year was that, Cliff? I think that was a little bit later, 90. I know it was 1996, the improvement guide, right? It was before that. But that really has helped, I think, organizations tie the PDSA cycle into what are we trying to accomplish?
Cliff? Yeah, the first edition of the improvement guide,
96.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered off pretty well some history and actually got a little bit into how this might be applicable to organizations. So, gentlemen, I appreciate you sharing your time with the Deming Institute podcast, and we look forward to future episodes on research that you're doing.
Thanks, Tripp.